Ade Due Damballa, give us the power, we beg of you!
Hazusene is no more. Long live Satanuary. All month long at Apocalypse Video, we're giving tribute to the Dark Lord by diving into the depths of Satan's most devilish and diabolical filmography. On this installment of Satanuary, the devil assumes the form of sexy Elizabeth Hurley and gives incel loser Elliot Richards 7 wishes to win the love of a woman he's barely spoken to and desperately wants to have sex with. Prepare yourself for the film US Weekly described as hellaciously funny. It's Bedazzled, a Harold Ramis joint.
Elliot Richards needs a life.
You're the man, Elliot.
It's all about first impression.
Go over there, say hello.
But most of all, he wants Allison.
Hi.
Hi. Do I know you?
Oh, I sure hope so. We've only been working together for the last 4 years.
I don't think I've ever seen you before.
You know, I'm here with some friends, and I was wondering if maybe you wanted to...
Elliot has never had any of his dreams come true.
I would give anything to have that girl in my life.
Until now.
Hello. You're very glib. I bet you're a whiz with the ladies.
Well,
let's go someplace quiet so we can talk.
Okay.
What if I told you that I have the power to give you anything and everything you've always dreamed of?
Who are you?
Promise not to tell anyone?
I'm the devil.
You're right.
I am the devil. Satan, Lucifer, the Prince of Darkness. Well, Princess of Darkness, anyway.
Why don't we take a look at the contract?
I, the devil, with offices in Purgatory Hell in Los Angeles, will give you 7 wishes for 1 piddling little soul.
Is this real?
It could be. Sign it, Elliot.
Okay. I wish that I were married to Allison and that I were very, very rich and very powerful.
You got it.
Muy buenos días, señor. ¿Le apetece algo de comer?
Como dices, no hablo español. Un momento. Realmente estoy hablando español.
Hola. Mucho gusto.
No, gracias. Soy alérgico a los crustáceos.
Elliot may have 7 wishes.
You turned me into a drug dealer.
What's the big deal?
You asked for rich and powerful.
But she's not going to give him...
Back so soon?
...a chance in hell. Bedazzled.
Nobody gets it totally right away. That's why you get 7 wishes.
Besides,
do I look like somebody who tried to trick you?
Hello, and welcome to another installment of Satanuary. Satanuary? I haven't quite said it right yet, I won't feel. I'm your host, Dave, a card-carrying member of the Satan Worshippers. I'm joined again by fellow member Mike.
It's already won the Pulitzer Prize, and it hasn't even been published yet.
I'm also joined by Jackie.
Don't you find secular humanism yummy?
Speaking of yummy, can I have a little bit more of that salad with dolphin-safe tuna? You got any more of that left?
Love that little jingle.
And finally, we're joined by the super sexy. That outfit you're wearing, Ryan, is really attractive. Ryan.
Did I do that?
Uh-oh.
That's from
He's
this,
also
that's
a very
movie,
sensitive
right?
guy, right?
I was thinking, yeah.
The devil is played by Urkel, and he's always coquettishly saying, did I do that?
Bedazzled, a Harold Ramis joint, which I didn't realize. When his name came up in the credits, I was like, oh, okay.
Same. I was like, wait, this one's him? Okay.
He also co-wrote it. And is this like the epitome of the early 2000s comedy?
This is the year 2000. And yes, yeah. It is the epitome.
It's also like, it's so 2000, it's kind of 90s. Like the, the opening of this, like the title sequence opening reminded me of like, I was watching like a Blur music video or something.
Yeah, of like, no, it, look at Anas- this footage.
It's Anasazi or whatever. Anasazi? What the hell's that aim of that?
I don't know, man. I'm too young and vibrant to know about that.
Isn't the Anasazi like a Native American tribe from Arizona?
No, it's the damn Quazazi. What the fuck?
Fugazi?
One second.
Fugazi? Quasi?
Quasimodo?
Ryan's going Quasimodo? To check his records.
Yeah, he's
going
to go look at his 90s, early 2000s.
He's like, I got it on vinyl.
No, don't worry. I got it. The devil gave it to me. It's fine. But yeah,
I had to go through the store shelves real quick.
Over all the
our
footage.
Our vinyl section.
Kodasatsi?
Oatsi?
Oh, Kodasatsi. Yeah.
Kodasatsi.
Kodasatsi.
Oh, Kwatsi. Buka de Beppo.
So based on what we see in the beginning, I'm assuming Kwatsi movies are basically just like CCTV footage.
Yeah,
or something?
Basically,
like-
yeah. But to Philip Glass music, you know, that's all they are, you know.
It's
beautiful
like,
stuff.
Have you ever thought about how we're all people?
Yeah, that's basically, we're all living on the earth.
This that guy is, so doesn't wash his hands after he pees.
Is the opening of this movie suggest that the devil is just watching like CCTV footage of Earth looking for the perfect dope?
Yeah, when she's not dressing up in a bunch of cool outfits, she's on her computer programming looking for the perfect fucking dope to, you know, bedazzle. So.
I do love to, like, not to get too into it, but like, she's looking at the different places she wants to find a soul. And we get, just like in Devil's Advocate, this is the set, we're two for two for just insulting the hell out of New York City. She looks at New York City and it's like, burr, burr, too easy.
I think it's San Francisco's too, is safe or something, or good. Is that
well,
there's
that,
a lot of gays
where,
in San Francisco?
That's where we end up.
I mean, I thought we were in New York.
No, we were in San Francisco,
we
Dave.
We were famously in San Francisco.
This is the most San Francisco ass. Did you see the Golden Gate Bridge in every shot?
Before we go too much farther, though, did any of the Apocalypse Video fam recommend this, or is this a rando Satan pick from David?
I think it came up. I think it got mentioned maybe at some point last year, maybe when we were talking about Brendan Fraser.
We were talking about Elizabeth Hurley in the action movie we watched too,
in Passenger 57.
Okay, because yeah. I was wondering like why we're watching the remake.
Because it's sexy. Come on.
Plus with Brendan Fraser. Well, okay, good. Because I've only seen this on TV, and I'm usually the guy defending this bullshit, but this is an unwatchable movie, I would say.
Oh, wow.
I wouldn't call it unwatchable.
It's pretty bad. It's like off the charts. Like, and I'm usually about like all this shit, you know.
I would say it's watchable if only for, again, Elizabeth Hurley has like three outfit changes per scene,
three?
And all of them are really fun.
33.
Yeah, three she's per scene, like, you know? Walking behind like a door, and then she's in a new outfit. I'm like, yes, do more,
yeah,
do
like,
more
look,
of that.
You look down to get your popcorn, and when you look back up, she's in a different outfit. Like
for
every
real?
Time.
That's not exaggeration.
And
movie,
all of the outfits
this movie
are
feels
fabulous.
Like we're going to show Elizabeth Hurley. It's this movie's two things. We're going to show Elizabeth Hurley be sexy in several different
outfits.
But not
sexy enough. Should be even
and
harder.
It's based, so it's that, and it's like, what if we just had a bunch of different like SNL skits that we're going to play that are loosely connected?
Yeah. I think that this is like on the charts. I don't think it's off the charts, Ryan. I think it's on the charts, but
charts.
It's rough. It is rough.
It's like I was curious, like why didn't I see this movie when it came out? Because like I remember the trailer very well. I remember Brendan. Yeah. I love Brendan Fraser. I love Austin Powers. And I think I was just like, why didn't I go see this? Like I just couldn't figure it out. And I think just probably because
it's not that good.
It's not. It was not good. No one. And I don't know. And I think I'm trying to think of who liked this movie. But
my memory, my memory of this coming out was it came out. I think looking at the records,
I think I was wrong, but I remember it coming out and just being like panned. I must have like seen like some local news review or something, but that was like really bad. But in my mind, this was like a Geely or something that came out and everyone was like, Jesus, this is one of the worst movies ever.
A big problem about this movie, I think, right off the bat, it's established immediately. Brendan Fraser's character sucks.
Yeah, he's really annoying.
He's kind of shit.
He's a little bit, the thing is not even that. I think he is like up too many notches. Mm-hmm. Like he needs to turn, he needs to go down. He's like cartoony. He's kind of doing like Jerry Lewis.
The way he like settles into Elliot, and I think he's okay at playing Elliot in some of the SNL skits parts. When he's playing the different characters, I think he settles into it. And by the end, I think he kind of, when he has the more confident Elliot, I think he settles into something. But in the first
at the beginning, he's not a human being.
I think it's the roughest part of the movie. And I feel like he doesn't know. It's like, I don't know if it's Brendan Fraser, if it's Harold Ramis, or if it's this. I don't think it's the screenplay. I think it's bigger than that. Something else. It's the choice of the acting. But it just doesn't work at all. It's bad. It's rough.
Hey, damn, my man. What's up, my bro? Huh? Yeah, put it there. All right. Yeah. So, hoops today? You and the guys up for some hoopage after work?
You know, we don't know yet, Elliot. I'm not sure yet, okay?
Oh, that's cool, man. Just let me know, because I'm there, bud. That's right, because I love the round ball. Uh-huh. That's why they call me Elliot.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you know, make sure that you let me know the right time, because last week you said 6:30, and when I got there, you guys were just leaving. I mean, how stupid did you feel?
Pretty stupid, Elliot.
Not a problem, Danny. Give it up.
He's not, I don't know. Yeah, he's off. Like, he is, like, I don't know. Like, and I guess, there's some moments, I'd say throughout the movie, it's almost like there's a couple moments where you're like, oh, fun. And then it kind of, like, everything kind of falls flat. Like, kind of the twist of things and stuff.
Everything about it, it's like, it makes me want to watch the original. Like, there all the these glimmers, it's like, it's just that, like, in theory, this could be fun. But
I'll lightly disagree, because I think that you're right. He, like, at the beginning, as like, I don't, the original Elliot, if you will, like, he sucks. Of course, his coworkers don't want to hang out with him. But one, like, I'm kind of into how like campy Brendan Fraser will play the rest of the, like, wishes guys.
Well, that's the funny part, I thought, because I thought his campy characters that he plays, like the drug lord, the
basketball
guy,
player.
Believe it or not, against all odds, those characters seem more real and down to earth than his original self in the beginning. That is the most exaggerated, crazy character, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't disagree.
It kind of reminds me of, like, He's playing it as almost like Steven Root from Office Space.
Oh God!
He's like Jerry Lewis in The Nutty Professor, which I bet that's what he was going for.
Yeah,
like I'm just like he's going for that, but the thing is it doesn't really ground the movie at all. At the first part, and the thing is I think there is fun stuff in here, but there's not enough. It feels for what it is in the sexy devil shit. It feels very tame for some reason too. I don't know. There's like, and there's not really like a continuous thread. This whole introduction of the woman that he loves, like, we don't get anything.
That's kind of on purpose, because at the end where he's like, hey, what's up? Like, I don't know you, but I'd like to get to know you. And she's like, no, thanks. He's like, okay, cool.
She has no character. And the ultimate realization, he's like, oh, I know what. I need to date myself, but in a girl form. Essentially, he's dating a clone of himself that is a girl.
But with the hot girl face, You know what? That's love.
That's the ultimate lesson of this movie. And she looks identical to the woman that he's been trying to get with throughout the whole movie, only with a different hair color.
Yeah, she's got brown curly hair instead of.
So the suggestion is that the devil and I guess God were like, let's give this poor sap like a clone of himself that he could fuck.
Who is that? Is that somebody you're supposed to know?
So I had seen this movie before. I remember my mom having it on like once or twice. I think she liked it because it was set in the Bay Area. And they like go over to that nightclub in Oakland, they specifically say, and we're like, shout out Oakland! That's where the devil would have a nightclub. And you do get a little bit of
Gabriel Casas. I don't know him.
I don't know. It's a good-looking fella.
Yeah, he's not really in anything big, really. Weird.
Well, he peaked early with Bedazzled.
Yeah, he was God. What else are you going to play after that?
Yeah.
I'm kind of looking, because I'm like, you guys are talking about 90 comedies, really. And mm-hmm. I'm kind of looking at like the popular ones of the times. And so,
what do we got? Like American Pie? Is that the
well, okay, so I'm going to say 99.
Austin Powers.
You kind of, like, there's before, that's even like 97, 98, whatever. So like 99, I think you have a pretty good year of comedies, even if some of these don't hold up. But you have like Galaxy Quest, Big Daddy, Office Space, American Pie.
Oh, yeah.
And Never Been Kissed. Like that Spy Who Shagged Me was that year, which I used to love, but it's not realizing it's the same movie as the first one.
Yeah.
But exactly like, the same. And 10 Things I Hate About You, it's kind of it's a pretty good year. But 99 is notoriously a good year. But then 2000 is rough, I would say. Like it's going into this where
the millennium.
I think maybe even my tastes were changing at that point, too, probably. Because
yeah.
You have, there's Scary Movie that year, which is kind of like, it's that's getting there. But then they have stuff like Road Trip, Dude, Where's My Car. I never really liked
Miss Congeniality.
Yeah.
Miss Congeniality's on there, but Me, Myself, and Irene, I never really liked that much either.
Would you say the 90s or early 2000s are a little more like boner comedy?
You have like Charlie's Angels is 2000, of course.
Speaking of boners.
But then you have stuff like, High Fidelity and Bring It On. And there's like things that are kind of like, it's going more in this like, the dramedy kind of, I'd say kind of vibe a little bit. The 2001, it's like, this is, we're getting into.
Well, and then 9/11.
Happen, like so. Joe Dirt.
Yeah, and then after 9/11, the next comedy they made, I think, was The Hurt Locker.
Yeah.
Well, this kind of falls into that crazy concept, special effects kind of comedy, like evolution. Like I feel in this
like breath. Ghost. What is it like? My Super Ex Girlfriend or something?
Yeah, like crazy special effects comedies, and like and a key to this, I feel like. Orlando Jones, that guy was in every early 2000s comedy. Like,
and I don't begrudge him the paycheck. I love when I think a high point of the movie is when the little trio will show up in each, like, wish.
Which was bizarre. I was like, why are these, I guess, like,
they don't like him. Why are they here?
I like that. I like that bit. I mean, you got to have the whole SNL cast on every.
Well, he was Mad TV, though.
I know. I'm just saying that these are like SNL skits.
Well, you had Toby Huss, which is that's fun to see him.
Toby Huss is great. Halt and Catch Fire. He's also a voice actor. He's a bunch of voices on King of the Hill.
Also in former episode Halloween.
I think though, Ryan, like with like what this movie is, I think it's a Harold Ramis movie. You know, like it's one of his like concept comedies.
Sure.
But like Groundhog Day is a lot more like a quiet movie compared to this.
Well,
like,
I wonder with Groundhog Day, because that movie famously was a tug of war between Ramis and Bill Murray. Bill Murray wanted to make it more serious and Ramis wanted to bring more comedy, and they sort of met in the middle, and I think that's why Groundhog Day
is Ramis Unchained?
Well, I noticed there were like three or four credited writers on this movie, Ramis being one of them. I'm like, uh-oh.
So maybe it was a tug of war in a different direction.
Yeah, I'm trying to think because, like, I don't know, like maybe they're just letting Brendan kind of go off. And like, I know like he's kind of in his cartoony zone because he has Monkey Bone and the Looney Tunes movie around this time, too.
Yeah. I think like, and I know we talked about his character at the beginning is like, this is not a human being. But I kind of like that he's, like I said, I like when he's getting like big and cartoonish and campy because I just like when he's having fun. But there's, I would say it's more fun in like the dress up parts than it is at the beginning when it's just like, God, if I had to work with this guy, it would be bad. It would be really bad.
Well, I think the problem is there's just no real point to this movie.
Well,
it seems odd to say since it's a goofy comedy, but it would just mean more because it's like, what's the message of this? Like clearly he gains some kind of confidence by the end of the movie. Like he's getting like reamed by his boss at the end when there must be a scene missing because at some point he decides after these fantasies, I guess I'll go to work again.
Yeah, it does feel like it's like cut up or something.
And he grabs
the guy by the shirt. He's like, leave me alone. Or he gives him the serious
face. It's such
face,
a like skip to the end too because he's done all these like things, but I don't understand. Like, think of like Christmas Carol,
what
right?
What is it gaining each
right,
time?
Right. Christmas Carol, like, is a similar concept to this. Exactly. And by the end of Christmas Carol, it makes sense why he's like a changed person. At the end of this one, I don't understand why he's confident, other than like, yeah. I guess he's like technically like, he's had a lot of crazy stuff happen
he
to him.
He did beat the
like,
devil.
He's been shot at by like Columbia drug lords. Maybe
is he just sort of fed up and frustrated? So
right, exactly.
Care?
There's no like, I'm not getting the sense of. I'm not getting any indication of like growth or learning a lesson or anything like that.
Like the only thing he seems to learn is like, okay, next time ask for a bigger dick. Like he just builds upon the things that he didn't ask for. That's kind of all he's really learning.
I would say the what he learns at the end, even though it is kind of unearned, is the like, you know, he makes his one selfless wish that Allison, this woman he's been trying to get who doesn't really know, that's just like, oh, I hope she has a good life. And that gets him out of the devil contract because of like selflessness, blah, 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 blah. He does kind of learn at the end of like, I should get to know a woman.
Yeah.
But again, you're like, well, how did you learn that through your wishes?
It's kind of like the thing is of him giving the selfless thing of like, I hope that woman that we don't know has a good life. It's
yeah,
like,
that's the thing.
The woman I talked to twice.
The object of like the MacGuffin, which is this woman he's trying to fall in love with. The movie sucks because like the screenplay sucks because like we don't know her. He doesn't know her.
That she has like a bad life right now. You know,
yeah, we don't know anything about her, and he doesn't know anything about her. It's so weird.
And I like Jackie's idea, like, oh, maybe like the point is like, oh, he didn't know her at all in the first place, and it's like, who cares if she has a good life? It was like, it's like weird things. It's like, it's really contradicting. I mean,
that's what makes him an incel at the core of it, is he's just like, well, I was going to claim ownership over that woman who I spoke to twice, but then I realized I shouldn't, so she can just go have a life, I guess. And well, it's like, huh.
And then I'll date the clone of her that's a brunette.
Luckily, she's still hot, yeah.
I thought, does she show up in the part where he's like the gay writer kind of thing?
Yeah.
Is there like a thing, is the other woman in that scene too? Is there like two, all the women look real, I mean, I hate to say it, they all look pretty similar.
I mean,
I don't think so.
No, isn't that Allison? Like,
it's the girl the whole time.
Yeah, it's
but who's walking her down the stairs?
I think the lady coworker might be her in that scene.
Is that her?
But, she doesn't show up as many times as the trio.
I would say like, okay, since I came out the gate like being an asshole about this movie, I'll talk about a few things I do like. I do like the Wizard of Oz idea of like all the people in his life are in the thing.
That was
as well.
Interesting. I was like, this is kind of interesting.
Like that's a kind of a fun. There's good elements of that, and I would say there's probably. I think the joke of him being Lincoln is pretty funny. It just doesn't go on long enough. I think or something. It's like. There's something about like it's like that is a kind of a funny idea. Like that's as far as we go is like he's like, I'll be president, which is a weird idea.
That's what this movie feels like. It's just like a bunch of different writers had an idea for a fun idea that could be used in this concept. And we'll just throw it up on screen and it'll kind of link to each other, but not really.
Well, and sometimes it's funny, but then sometimes I don't know. On paper, it kind of sounds funny, but it doesn't really play out, or they don't do enough like zingers or like a. Like smart top back and forth with a lot of this.
That's
stuff.
That's why this feels very much like a movie based on an SNL skit, and that you're like, oh, I could see this being funny for like up to 4 or 5 minutes. Why did you make it into a movie?
It's an SNL skit that went on too long. Like there are a couple moments that made me laugh. Like the sunset bit, the recurring sunset bit, kind of made me chuckle.
Oh wow. What is it?
It's that sunset again. And I worry about the dolphins. I wrote a song about them. Would you like to hear it?
Now I...
He's like, when's that fucking thing gonna set? Like, that made me laugh a little bit. Like, there's a couple jokes in here that work, but just like, it just feels too hodgepodge.
It also reminds me of an episode of SNL where you're like, yeah, I think there were like two sketches that were pretty funny, and the rest were like, okay, I guess you have to fill time, and I
That's usually every episode of.
I guess you do ultimately have to serve like some out of touch old man. So I guess he said yes, and that's what we're doing, and that kind of feels like a lot of this movie.
Let's break down the sketches in this movie. So the setup, we already covered the setup. So Brendan Fraser is this loser.
He's an incel.
He wants this girl he's talked to like once or twice in the last 4 years.
Everyone in his life can't stand him.
Yeah, he basically, like, it opens with him like, hey guys, you want to hang out, to his coworkers, and all of them blow him off. He goes to like a club or bar or something, and they're all there, and he just basically just sits in with them. Oh, well, guys, I'm going to be mad at you, but I guess I'll still join you anyway. They blow him off again, and he eventually just like, oh man, if only I could sleep with that woman, I'll do anything. And that's when the devil shows up. And I clocked it. It's just under 10 minutes when Elizabeth
Hurley
shows
quick.
Up.
That's pretty quick.
It's very quick.
They know what
it's
you're
like,
here
the
for.
The movie's starting now. Like, all right, I'll give you 7 wishes and I'll give you whatever you want. He wants to fall in love with this girl. And then we're going to have 6 or 7 skits that get increasingly stupid.
Yeah, I want to say, like, in the original one, the like inciting thing or whatever. So in this one, right, he's at the bar and he's like, man, I'd do anything for, I wish I'd do anything for that girl. In the original one, it's kind of a similar thing where he's in love with a girl and can't do it, but he tries to kill himself. He tries to hang himself, but then the devil shows up.
See, that feels more of like
damn, this movie really should have gone there.
It's sort of just like she's just like, yeah, and I mean, and it, yeah.
It's kind of weird.
There's not like stakes in a weird way.
Yes,
you know,
it feels like I was saying this like to myself just in this movie, like 20 minutes in, like it feels flat.
For selling your soul to the devil, it doesn't feel like there's any problem. Like, it's like, how do you keep resetting the wish if you're freaking sold your soul? Like, I don't, that doesn't make any sense.
Is his soul not sold to her until he fulfills all his wishes? I guess?
Suppose so. Like,
somebody tries?
They're giving him this exchange and like maybe hoping that he'll get so swept up in wish bullshit or like, you know, lose them all because they all go wrong because it's like Trixie genie rules that like he'll be so distracted that you used up all your wishes, now I got your soul, get the fuck in the Oakland nightclub that's actually really scary during the day.
Like, didn't like Bart sell soul for like to the comic book man or something like that, or elf pods?
And he immediately starts feeling negative effects.
Yeah, and I think like the what happens with that?
I know that's funny, but I'm just not laughing.
Pablo Neruda said laughter is the language of the soul.
I am familiar with the works of Pablo Neruda.
Like, there's nothing like in real life with Brendan, you know, because of this or something.
Yeah, it should have had him like getting sickly or something, like,
or just
as
like
the wishes go on.
Like having more scenes maybe in the real life in between these things maybe could help, like in like his life is like falling apart now. Or
no, we need more time for Elizabeth Hurley doing naughty things and wearing little outfits.
Yeah, that's the connective tissue between these SNL skits. Is he comes back, and again really sets this in 2000. She gives him a pager to use. If he puts 666 in, he'll get sucked out of the wish he was in, and they'll reset, and he'll tell her another wish, and they go forth. But the connected tissue between these things is just Elizabeth Hurley's a devil, and she's doing bad things.
She's doing
like
devilish
giving people
things.
Tickets. She's turning the lights on all these stoplights green, so they crash. Oh, I'm so bad.
She's putting like M&Ms in people's medicine or whatever.
Yeah, or Tic Tacs. Like, what is this?
Just being evil.
And I think like, if he popped back into real life and then like there's like a scene and then she shows up in a thing, like it does feel like there's like 10 minutes, 15 minutes taken out of this movie.
You're right. I think there should be more like he's actively being tempted by the devil to like do whatever, like make the wishes. Instead, he's just like, I can't believe you did that to me. Wah!
Yeah, and then it's just like, next
like,
one.
She's like, oh, teehee, you caught me.
And that's the weird part. It's like swiping, through TikTok or whatever. It's really, it's a weird, it, that's why I'm just like, oh, it's just the one.
The structure is odd.
It's very strange, because, and that's like I said, from the beginning, you're not grounded in like this, in it's weird to say that about this movie, grounded in reality, but like, I don't know, it's unrelatable, I feel like.
Well, this weirdly, it doesn't follow like a three-act structure, because again, it's just like five or six skits. Like, and again, it's not like he's really learning anything or changing throughout each skit. He's just like, the only thing he's technically learning is like, oh, okay, I need to be more specific about my wishes. That's it.
Which, like, dude, haven't you seen any kind of media with a genie in it? You have to be so specific. What an amateur.
I just feel like this movie would have been a little better if he were growing and learning things, for like real things, not just like, oh, I'll be more specific about my next wish. It's like he needs to have character growth moments. He just doesn't have that. And then suddenly at the end, I guess he has confidence somehow.
Because he talked to God. Yeah. Because God was like, you can't let the
it
devil
get
you.
Very gaudy at the end there.
And all God says is like, you can't really sell your soul to the devil.
Because it was never yours to begin with.
What if God was one of us?
Just a slight light.
I thought this movie was heading in a direction where, because there's like a moment, it turns out to be nothing, but there's a moment where Elizabeth Hurley's like, it's so hard being me. Everyone hates me. This, that, and the other thing. I thought this movie was going to end with Brendan Fraser getting with her.
Like, there is a lot of
internal damnation,
sexual
with her.
Tension there,
or something like, oh, actually, the devil isn't that bad, which they kind of do at the end. Like, literally, the devil and God are like playing chess at the end. Like,
it would be cool if
rivals.
Like something happened where like he had to take up the mantle as the devil,
and she was free or something.
Something like he does a selfless act for her.
Free.
Like, I thought that's where it was going, because like, again, like. He has no real relationship with the girl he's lusting over. His only real relationship, and he kind of says,
"She says you're my best friend."
You're my best friend.
And I'm like, "Oh wow, this is terrible." That, like, you're right. That could have been something.
She's the only person that has ever hung out with him for longer than like 2 minutes.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because this office.
I would have liked that.
I the thing is that there's been in every workplace or your class or whatever. There's always like this one person that just like drives you nuts, you know. And I get, so I see that with this guy. But the thing is like, it's almost to the point, like I said, that's why I said he's like Urkel in the beginning of this movie, where I'm like it just like a cartoon kind of thing. And it really threw me off throughout the rest. But you're right, Mike, when you're saying like later, he kind of like, he must have shot in a weird order. He wasn't sure what he was doing yet, because he does feel more like a real person in later a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's a goofy little guy, I feel like, Brendan Fraser. And
but
he
there's
likes
nothing
students.
In these skits that would lead to that character change. Like, let's talk about the skits.
Yeah, let's talk
about
each one, yeah.
So the first skit is the Colombian drug lords.
So what's his wish here? He's like, I wish I were rich and powerful.
And she was married.
And married
and she
to
was my
girl.
Wife, yeah.
And so, yeah, surprise, drug lord.
First wish was a Big Mac and a large Coke.
That's
remember?
True.
Oh, of course. And she just takes him on a bus ride.
She
to go
takes him on the bus to
my
a McDonald's.
First wish is for product placement.
It fell a little flat, but it is.
It was just product placement.
I think it's an editing thing or something like that. Because I think that is a funny idea. It's kind of done in a weird way. Like, you don't even should show the bus. You should just like cut to them at the counter.
They should just be at McDonald's.
Yeah. but 347 for a Big Mac and a large Coke?
I disagree. I think one of the funnier bits in the movie is like, that it's like, because this is the whole thing is like, she's trying to convince him she's the devil. And I like the bit a lot where it's like, all right, I wish for a Big Mac and Coke. And then it's like, they have to take the bus. I think that's
I guess so. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah,
I would say
it would have been funnier if someone came, literally just appeared like next to them, like a waiter walked up to them with the tray, a Big Mac in front, you know.
Well, no,
like,
because
I think it's funnier that it's like it's so low rent. It's like we have to take the bus and he has to pay for it. Like,
so basically, she magics a bus that shows up.
She doesn't. I don't think she does. Yeah, I don't think she barely does anything.
Well,
I think
it's just ironic what she does.
Because and it adds to the irony, because right after that, he's just like, okay, well, I gotta get the fuck out of here. And she's just like, all right, let me show you like one more thing. And then they get in the like fancy car and drive to the nightclub and
they go to like Zion.
Which is like, it is funny that, you know, the first wish, she's like, I'll show you, I'm the devil. Get on the bus with me. We're gonna ride about 15 minutes. And then she's like, just kidding. Here's my super fancy devil mobile and I'll take you to the sexy nightclub where everyone loves you. And then the what was I gonna say? I don't know. I like her. Once again, love the outfit in this scene. She's wearing like a big fluffy red furry coat and sunglasses at night. It's great.
Yeah, she looks great.
He has to be rich, powerful, and that I don't even think we've said her name. What's the character's name?
Allison.
Allison. Like, I want Allison to be married with me. So he's not specific about any of these things. So he ends up becoming a rich, powerful drug lord.
In some light brown face.
We're a little bit of brown face. We're going to change his nose. The first of many nose changes in this movie. And we're going to give him this little mustache. And, oh, crap. It turns out she's having sex with her English instructor. And my crew is... You know,
I'm selling drugs.
Like, it takes Russian drug lord guy, and then that, it all blows up in his face.
It's kind of. I do think the first reveal is pretty funny. Of like he's speaking Spanish and stuff, and that's all kind of funny.
That was in the trailer. I remember that.
I remember that in the trailer. But then I remember the thing is that like, it's like too late. It's like so late for him to realize that he's like a drug lord. Like, we all realize it like right off the bat. Yeah. Like, he must be like a drug lord and like or something.
I want to say though, I did really like and respect that for this whole sequence, which is fairly lengthy, they're all speaking Spanish.
Yeah.
That surprised me. I thought they were going to do the movie thing where they switch to English and the presumption is they're actually speaking Spanish.
I thought that was like, I got a kick out of that. And I was like, wow. I was kind of impressed by the actors of all of this, like, doing that.
Se perdió su mujer y ahora las agallas. Creo que llegó el tiempo de cambio.
Lo francés. Raúl! Mira nada más tu alrededor! Cualquiera de ellos es capaz de sacrificar su vida por mí si me ven en peligro!
Ellos son mis hombres ahora.
No te crees, Alejandro! ¿No crees lo que está diciendo este mico? Alejandro...
Alejandro, Roberto, Esteban.
¡Pierros, hijo de putas!
I'm sure not everyone's accent was perfect, but it was a it was a great scene of like, here we are in the Colombian drug lord timeline.
Well, it's a goofy comedy, so I could forgive that kind of thing. But I was surprised that they stuck with Spanish the whole time. Every character, I was like, okay.
Yeah, it's like Yeah, it just for some reason, I think what it is like there's something you're right with the rhythm to like the reveal, like maybe that it is like this is what it is, like for the character. Like we kind of already know what's going on.
Well, yeah,
it takes you so long to figure it out.
One of those movie things, and it's before even the first Wish 2, where it takes like a long time for him to be like, oh, you are the devil. It's like she's done quite a few quick changes and shit. You should believe like that there's some magic going on, where again in the drug lord Wish, it's like it's taken you a long time to understand that this is drugs. Like, have you ever seen a movie, dude? Like,
well,
you really...
if they put him in this like outfit, it wouldn't have been maybe quite as obvious. But you know what I mean? Like, they could have been a little more subtle about
it. Well, the moment that like he's looking around and there's like armed guards around his house.
You're like, come on, like, AK-47s. Dude. What do you think is going on? Like, he's both his movie stupid in a way that you know, it's a little much at times.
It might be like, you know what it is, like because the way he's acting a little bit, and I was thinking about, like, I bet maybe if I saw that, if I was a little younger, 2000, or maybe I would have saw this then, it would have been funnier. Like, maybe you have to be like, it's like really kid like type of
it's
like,
cartoonish,
kind of
stuff,
in a way that is not, it's not, it's unfortunately not very. And I like a few of those Harold Ramis movies and stuff, and love this guy, but it's just not, it's
what,
very.
What I'm real quick, what are some Harold Ramis movies? I think. The movies he directed, it would be like Ghostbusters.
No, he didn't direct. Ivan Reitman did Ghostbusters.
Oh, Ivan Reitman.
Stripes.
Vacation and
Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day and Caddyshack were Harold Ramis.
Yeah. What was he doing around this time? Like, what are some like?
He was doing this.
I did say I know he did Year One, right?
Oh yeah,
well,
a little later.
Like a decade later.
He had a couple. He was starring in bit roles. Like I remember,
he analyzed this.
He popped up in As Good as It Gets. He was like I don't remember what his deal was. Like a lawyer or something. He was a doctor. He was a doctor that operates on her son. Whatever. He's like
He's Seth Rogen's dad in Knocked Up too. Wasn't that?
That's another one. Yeah.
So he's a Hollywood guy. He, you know, he'll show up, but also still directs and writes, I suppose.
I just see the movie he directed before Bedazzled. Well, it was Analyze This, but then before that, it was Multiplicity, which...
Oh, right. Yeah. I forgot about that movie.
I don't know, sounds like a lot of movies that don't exist.
That falls into that camp of, like, that he was really trying to go deep in was, like, these crazy high-concept comedies.
Yeah.
Yeah, Analyze This is, I mean, I just watched that recently. It's okay. It's a little bit of its time, but, like, you know, that was kind of like it's a fun...
Talking about a movie that doesn't exist, anyone want to take a guess at the movie Harold Ramis directed in 1995?
Oh, I know that. I can see that right now. I'm looking at it. But
have you ever heard of this movie?
Yeah. It would play on Comedy Central all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
What are some clues?
What is it?
It's starring Al Franken.
It's an SNL movie.
Okay, so it doesn't exist.
Don't tell me it's Stuart Saves the World.
Yes, Stuart saves his family. Stuart Saves His Family. Yeah.
Which again, I'm sure it has like maybe 90 seconds of funniness in it.
I think this is going to be one of those movies. Like if we rewatch it, it's either like, oh wow, this is actually really funny, or it's like the worst movie. Like this should not be seen.
Well, the Stuart was like I'm big enough, I'm strong enough, and God damn it, people like me. Is that what he says or something like that?
Yeah.
Gosh darn it.
God damn it.
That sounds really, really funny for a full length film.
That's the thing with those SNL movies. Like it's
There's no reason for that shit to exist.
Like, I mean, I think it's easy to say Wayne's World is the top of the SNL movie charts, right?
That's the best. It's the best.
I mean,
movie.
It's
the best one.
I gotta say, as someone who saw Wayne's World as an adult for the first time, it's fine.
No,
okay.
I'll put
Michael
my badge.
Doesn't like to laugh. He doesn't like
I'll,
funny.
I'll know. Put my badge and gun on the counter.
yeah, it's. I mean, it is not to be like such a big hater, but like. Why do any SNL movies exist?
I mean, there's probably, what are some other ones? There's got to be like
a good one.
There's got to be
Night at the Roxbury, Coneheads, Blues Brothers
Rocks,
is another one.
Rocks,
but Blues Brothers, like that's a unique one because that wasn't really a sketch. Yeah. It was like they were a musical band
Superstar,
on the show. Superstar, yeah, The Ladies Man.
There's a lot of
ooh, The Ladies Man.
But like, are any of these good
movies? What's the one, the Pat, it's Pat?
It's
oh,
Pat.
God.
I mean,
honestly, I would say Wayne's World and Blues Brothers are like the two big ones.
Yeah, Wayne's World is definitely better. I'm sure. I haven't seen all these, but I'm sure Wayne's World is better than like I don't dislike Wayne's World.
There's not. There none of them really.
Do the majority of these movies have more than like 5 minutes of actually funny, engaging movie between them?
It's interesting. I was thinking while we're on the topic of SNL movies. A couple of years ago, Conan had Kevin Nealon and Dana Carvey on his podcast.
He said Conan.
We said Coneheads.
Oh, he said Coneheads.
I said Conan.
So Conan O'Brien had Dana Carvey and Kevin Nealon on his and
Smigel.
Robert Smigel on his podcast. And in the early 90s, they were really close to making a Hans and Franz movie. Mm-hmm. And it was going to star Arnold Schwarzenegger. Because Hans and Franz at that time was a very successful...
That's the
Come
one
on, we're
going like,
to
pump
you
up.
Mike... We're going to pump you up.
Give me your badge. Get the fuck out.
That's the extent of the sketch. I'm going to pump you up.
I'm putting my other gun and badge on the table.
I had doubles.
But no, it was a very, very successful sketch. It was very funny. And that was kind of its peak at that time. And Conan, Kevin Nealon, Dana Carvey, and Robert Smigel were all writing it. And a couple of years ago on their podcast, they basically read most of the script that they had made. And on paper, it was really, really funny.
Well, because they're funny writers, but like if it were transformed onto the silver screen, would it actually play?
Here's what I'm getting at. The script as they read it, I was dying laughing, but like it makes you wonder, like, okay, maybe it's funny on the page, but like, if it's on the screen, is it going to translate? You know what I mean? As we're talking about this, I had that thought, like, as funny as that script was, and I was dying laughing with them performing it, and the, like, one of my favorite moments is, like, it's like a road trip movie that they were proposing, and, like, Hans and Franz keep getting, that like, shows them riding on a tandem bicycle, and as they get more people, more unlikely people, the tandem bicycle extends. Like, there were a lot of gags in that script that were hilarious, but I'm like, does that necessarily mean that it would translate to screen?
Well, it's kind of probably like this, where they're like, you wake up as a Colombian drug lord and like you're all speaking Spanish, you're probably at the table read all dying, you know, laughing.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what this movie is. Like, maybe some of these things, maybe these skets, these random disparate skits that these four,
you were trying to combine sketch and
skits
skit. I heard it.
I know. Yeah, sorry. But it's like, is the idea that, I wonder if that's what the case is here. Like, you got four or five different writers. They all have different ideas. They mash them together. They were funny on the page, but when you see them on screen, it's like, this doesn't really connect.
But what if this was a television show that ran for 50 years of bullshit? What if this went? It was all directed by one increasingly racist old man.
I just think, yeah, like this. Maybe this would have been something if the character grew and learned things as he went. But as it is, it's just like five or six different sketches that I put into this.
I'm just wondering if the stuff is cut out or something.
Like, maybe
the connective stuff. Maybe, yeah. Well, there, like I said, there definitely is a.
There's actually, I think Harold Ramis' original vision of this. It was an IMAX. Film stock, and it was going to be 4.5 hours long in black and white.
Yeah, actually, it was going to be really artistic. You don't understand.
Well, because black and white makes everything better.
Yeah.
Yeah, the black and white cut is better, I feel.
the red outfits don't read as well, but.
You know what's funny is, so one of the bits in between the scenes is like he pops into like a classroom. Elizabeth Hurley's like teaching a bunch of like boys school kids kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Some boy teens, and she's like, you know, no homework. It's real tame. It's kind of stupid.
Yeah.
And then she's like, but she does say something along the lines of like, English should be the only language we're speaking, or something like that.
Ugh.
Okay, boys, tonight's homework: algebra, x to the nth plus y to the nth equals z to the nth. Well, you're never going to use that, are you? Imperialism and the First World War. Well, what's done is done, I say. No point thinking about it now. German, French, Spanish. Ya, ya, wee, wee, see, see. It's nonsense. Everyone speaks English anyway. And if they don't, they ought to. So, no homework tonight. But I want you to watch a lot of television. Don't neglect your video games. And I'll see you in the morning. Shall we say 10? 10:30? No point getting up too early, is there?
Well, she says, like, there are some, like, jokes in that scene that are, like, a little subtle, where she's, like, she's specifically saying, like, oh, we don't need to learn anything about English imperial history.
Yeah. It already happened. Why talk about it?
Yeah, why talk about that? And, like, yeah.
But I was combining two things. I was, like, thinking, like, on the trailer, she, like, slaps somebody, and they go, ooh, you know, kind of, like, she hits, like, her little whip. But I realized, oh no, that's Charlie's Angels. That's that's when Lucy Liu is at the front of the class, and she's like, she's like in like a little bit of a dominatrix,
like a dominatrix outfit.
It does feel like there was like maybe the original, like at some point it was like this was gonna be sexy, and then someone came in and was like, no, don't make it sexy. Like,
we got to keep it PG-13.
Yeah, like the kids like Brendan Fraser. You know, he's George of the Jungle. You know, he's. Yeah. He's Dudley Do Right. We need a or something like that. But I don't know. That's a little bit later. Then we have Columbia Drug Lord. What's the second one?
Sensitive Boy.
Oh yeah, Sensitive Boy.
Is this Sensitive Boy?
The sunset bit made me laugh. He's too sensitive.
He's
and
very,
cries
very
and everything.
Sensitive.
This
and,
was
but basically
no.
The
this
end of
this
sketch
was the
was
most.
Like,
I think this is the worst part of the movie, and the worst sketch. This is the one that feels the most like I'm just watching SNL. So he's
well, and the point of so basically the point of the sketch is like he's far too sensitive, and she's just, what does she say at the end? It was wild. Like, I want someone to like take advantage of me.
Yeah,
or,
who like or, ignores my personality and like pretends to know me just to get in my pants.
It's a weird request that he says. I want to be the most sensitive boy and man in the world.
He says like, well, they do is they like the devil is this whole section is it's the worst. So like he becomes a drug lord. It goes bad. You know, he's about to be shot he's about to die, and Paige is back. When they reset, the devil's like, okay, well, let's, you know, you want to make sure she loves you. Let's go read her diary. So they go to read her diary, where I guess she's written like, here's the dream man I want. I want a man who is blah, blah, blah. You know, and like, I guess they're like, oh, she wants a sensitive man. So I wish to be the most sensitive man in the world. And then he's like, wait a minute, the most emotionally sensitive man in the world. And it's just like, it's so, I get that, like, you got to make the Faustian bargain where you make the wish and it's not quite what you thought. But this one is like, it's too...
Like, why would you think that would turn out?
Yeah, it's like so obviously like not going to work out.
It's,
you know what I mean?
It's kind of too, like the only time they're like in her room and she's like walking through them and she's wearing a towel, which, you know, mm-hmm. what's the line, David? It's like, sorry, I can't hear you. I'm wearing a towel.
You'll have to speak up. I'm wearing a towel.
What is that from? I forget. But anyway,
yeah, she gets out of the shower and then immediately goes to paint her toenails. You know how girls do.
But it's like, and they can't see them. Like, it's like, it's very, that's very Christmas Carol-y a little bit, kind of thing. But
I'm I was thinking of Interstellar.
That doesn't do that in the rest of the movie, does it? I'm trying to think.
That's true. That's the only time we get him as like a ghost, sort of.
it's weird, right?
Yeah, no, it's not
a
good
the only
movie.
Scene that happens, yeah.
That feels like that when we're talking about like we never get to know this woman.
And
that
feels it is, like, a it late is one. like Jackie was saying, it's insane what Allison is doing in the scene. If you take like Brendan Fraser and the devil out of it, like what is Allison doing? She gets out of the shower while still wet, wraps herself in a towel, walks over to like a random upholstered chair
in her bedroom,
and just puts a foot on there and starts like painting her toenails.
We need her foot to be close to his dick.
And then walks back into the bathroom. It's insane. Like, that is not something a human would ever do.
You know, she needed to check her emails in the room or something.
You know how women
are. I don't know.
I
was just trying to think of something.
There's,
Were you thinking of something 2000?
I don't know. I was just trying to think of like, what, you know,
she needed to log on to AOL.com.
She had to check, her Friendster or something.
Her Friendster.
That's a little later.
We keep circling the drain here. I feel like, but like, I'm just like in the beginning of the movie, we have to have a thing like that. She likes him, regardless, is him himself in the beginning of the movie, and he doesn't realize it. It has to be the thing of this movie. And then he's just like thinking he needs to be somebody else he doesn't need to be, and then he gets her at the end. That's the fucking movie. What am I nuts? Am I crazy?
That's the standard movie. That's pretty standard. That's pretty straightforward. But I do kind of like that it's like he is completely daydreaming, and she could not give less of a shit about him. So at the end, when he's just like, hey, I'd like to get to know you, and she's like, oh, that's really sweet. I am seeing someone, though. He's like, okay. Because it's just she's just some random woman who's living a life of her own.
Thing is, we've been working together here for the last 4 years, and I've always noticed you and thought that you looked like a very interesting person.
I don't know how interesting I am.
Well, the truth is, I don't know you, and you don't know me, and I was thinking that if we were to get to know each other, that there's a chance that we just might hit it off, so I was wondering if you wanted to go get a cup of coffee or...
Oh, that's really so nice of you. I'm seeing someone.
Oh. Well, of course you are. You're... he's sure one lucky guy. Listen, if it ever doesn't work out with him, then...
So nice of you.
Really? No.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks a lot. I'll see you around.
Okay, take care. Bye.
I, in my headcanon too, I think she's gay. I think because she never says she's seeing a man.
That's true.
She's like very pointed, like, oh, I'm already with someone.
And just like, okay, this was the 34-year-old woman like the diary or something. I don't know.
I know that's the movie is it's based on one of the sacred texts of being women are stupid and I don't respect
my headcanon for this diary. This is her diary from like when she was a kid. She hasn't written in it since then. It's just lying around her house.
I think though that the movie would work better if this was like they might be teens. Like, you know, I think like the way Brendan's acting too is like more in this like teen zone, I feel
sure.
like.
Sure. It's, yeah, it may be more believable. The, like, of high school, like, or something like that. We go to school like together, and of what you're saying, of like in the version of this where she just likes him and doesn't want him to change, where she'd be like, oh, of course I, yeah, we have class together. What's up, Brenda Fraser?
Like, I don't know. I, in my head, I keep going on this. It's like, I'm thinking like, what if it's like Jonah Hill and Emma Stone and Superbad kind of thing? And it's like that level of, but this is still the same story. It's, but
at
it's
least,
those two.
At least like in early 20s. But yeah, he's in his 30s. And like, this is not.
Yeah.
It feels weird, doesn't
it's
it?
Not a third, it's yeah, not a story of two people in their 30s.
Yeah, I think also if he were a teen, his like shitty personality at the beginning would be a little more like forgivable.
Digestible,
or sympathetic.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking of 2000 here, like a Sean William Scott type maybe might be more appropriate.
Where you're like, yeah, he's kind of a douchebag, like he's annoying, but you're like, that's kind of what teenagers are. Like, if he learned a lesson, he would change.
This would have been a perfect vehicle for Jason Biggs.
Oh, he was busy. He was too
maybe
busy.
Jason Biggs and Keep Elizabeth, you know, Hurley. It'd been great, you know, but. I don't know. Yeah,
yeah, because
that's
because kinda, of that,
the way it's
actually,
written would work better that way.
What you're saying, Ryan, I kind of almost like that. Like, if they were like teens or young adults, character, the like extra psychosexual devil relationship where she's like, what was it at towards the end where she's like pinning him against the jail and like kissing his ear,
yeah,
and she's just like, by the way, I like you. Wouldn't be too bad to have a friend
Who said that they liked the emotional one? Someone said they liked it. I want them to describe what happens.
What?
I think David liked the
I think
sunset.
You're making shit up.
No, Dave.
I liked the sunset bit in the emotional story. That made me laugh.
Well, so what? Yeah, what happens in the emotional? what is the emotional?
Well, we already
bit?
Went over it. Like basically, like he, like she's like, he's too sensitive. I just want to get fucked. Basically,
yeah.
I want to be fucked by some asshole. Like that. Essentially, that's the how it ends. And if I don't remember the order, but the next one again, most of these sketches, they don't mean anything.
Skets.
It's no, like I wish I was powerful or something or confident. Like
I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller.
Yeah. It's like okay, and because.
That's what he should have wished for.
Basketball player, and this was an odd thing to me. He's like a basketball player like this. I'm like, is that a known stereotype with basketball players?
Bob is courtside with Elliot Richards. Now let's go to Bob. Bob. Thank you, Jerry and Dan. Elliot, you must be one very proud young man this evening. Simply put, that was a staggeringly dramatic display of athletic ability.
Well, you know, you go out there and you give 110% and you want to play good and, you know, you hope you play good. I think we play pretty good tonight.
Well, in the lexicon of sports terminology, and I don't mean to sound contrary here, the word good falls tragically short of encompassing the sheer virtuosity of your performance this evening.
Well, you know, there's no I in the word team, and this is a team effort, and I just want to say that I'm really proud to be associated with these fine individuals that I have the pleasure of working with.
Now, I would never want to diss your teammates in any way, shape, or form, but you do realize that you smashed to bits Will Chamberlain's heretofore unbreakable record of 100 points in a single basketball game set in Hershey, Pennsylvania all those years ago.
Oh, man, you know, you just got to play one game at a time and go out there and give 110%, and you just got to show that you want it more than they do when chips fall where they may.
Thank you very much. Back to you, Jerry and Dan.
All right! Diablo!
He is, Jackie and I were like, so when he's the basketball player, we already talked about him doing brown face, right? Does it seem like in the basketball one, he is playing as if he is a black guy doing white face?
That's kind of funny. I mean, yeah.
It's kind of the, that was, and
he's
that was
like
the
a
one that
blonde
I.
Blonde buzz cut.
I found the funniest, like the wig is this like bleached, like it's almost a mullet you see in the back. There's like a little bit of a tail.
There's a really.
And he's like dripping with sweat all the time.
This
and he's
is
like
the
10
best
feet
throwaway
tall.
Throwaway sketch of the movie.
I think the announcers with Toby Huss and Orlando Jones is one of my quote unquote highlights of the movie.
Because, yeah, Toby Huss is doing like, oh, it's a great day here at the basketball game. And then,
and yeah, Orlando Jones is playing it like he's like, like Charlie, oh my God, who's the...
XCX?
No, the basketball guy.
Charles Barkley?
Charles Barkley, yeah, Charlie Barkley.
Charlie Barkley. There's like the bit where Toby Huss is like, you'd think he's 11 feet tall. And Orlando Jones is like, I don't think he's that big, Jerry. It's like, it's a good bit.
I'm tell you, right from the get-go, the fans took a look at Elliot Richards. A couple women faded, a couple fellas, well, I'd rather not say, but they liked what they saw.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a big fella and an imposing fella.
He's enormous. He's enormous. He's listed at 7'6" of the program, and I say he plays the game, like you said, 11 feet tall.
No, I don't think he's that big, Jerry.
No, I'm saying the game he plays is that of some Viking giant with a basketball in one hand and a club in the other, standing 10, 11, 12 feet tall.
It's there's a weird thing where she like changes him into like Dennis Rodman at, before they leave or something. He's like, no, like all crazy. And
we do have a running gag in the movie of like, wouldn't it be terrible to be gay?
I know, right?
Jesus. That'd be the worst.
Yeah, that. So the next one is funny because like the next one is he.
Well, the reveal
How could I skip over this?
He's got a tiny little weenie.
Tiny weenie. Tiny. They don't even say weenie, I don't even, do they? They say this like.
They don't even say weenie.
He has a tiny dick, and basically she's like, oh, you have a tiny dick.
Oh, I'm out.
Oh, that's a weird reveal, too, because he like just. He doesn't like accidentally drop the towel. He like.
He just kind of removes it, like, I better
get changed now, and then he like opens it up.
Well, they
like,
do play it as like he is. Like, he probably has like a. Like a disorder, like how dumb he is.
Yeah.
Like he's playing this as like extremely dumb. Like he can only talk in like sports. You know, like you just got to give it 110%.
Just got to
get out there.
Play good.
What about this?
There's no I in team.
A known stereotype that basketball players are like dumb.
I think it's just jock. Like I think it's a dumb sports guy.
It's just like dumb jock thing.
Okay.
It's very weird. Yeah. It's a funny idea. Like I think the visually of like him being like blown up with everyone around him is kind of funny.
Very
like,
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
but like there's something they keep replaying the same shot of him dunking. Oh, it's like
it feels really silly.
Together. He's like stepping through the air and he just looks like massive.
It's like, and there's only like the one joke usually, but like you know I love seeing Elizabeth as a cheerleader. That's fun, you know. but I don't know. It's weird. It's everything's off a little bit, which I think on paper,
next to the Lincoln thing, it's the most throwaway of these skits.
Yeah.
On paper, I think it's a funny idea. Like it's just like, oh, we like bat, but I don't know. The dick thing doesn't seem very, related, if that makes sense to like, I don't know. There's something off about that too.
Is it maybe like a joke about like roiding or like it is just comes down to like, isn't it funny when a dick is small?
It's weird to have the small dick and the it'd be bad to be gay thing too. I don't know.
It's funny.
I want to be a smart person because I was dumb as the basketball player, so I want to be very, very smart. But I guess the thing with smart people is smart people are gay.
Well, I think the joke of it is like, oh, it's this perfect man who's so smart and sophisticated and worldly and has a big dick and is handsome. And if you put all that together, what do you get? Obviously, it's a gay man. No straight man could have all of that.
I do say, I think this is one of the rare instances where this might be better than the original one. In the original one, there is a scene where, or one of the wishes is like very similar to this, where it's like, oh, I want to be this like smart, sophisticated person. I want her to be smart, sophisticated. And the bit in the original one, the way it goes wrong is she is like starts, because she's so smart and feminist, is like starts saying like you're committing sexual assault.
Cool.
And like crying rape and stuff. That's like the joke.
That's a really funny joke.
So, you know, we've taken one step forward, two steps back into the year 2000.
Well, the only thing worse than being a gay man is being a woman who's a feminist.
It's so funny too, because this one is, he turns out to be gay, but everything of all the other wishes, like, you know, he's like, he's about to be murdered. He's like, you know, getting sand kicked in his face, whatever. Like this one, he is rich and successful.
Well, he's respected. Just gay.
Like,
yeah.
Like he could.
And he doesn't like women.
Right. He does. It's not like he's like, I like women, but I can't. Like he's very clearly like, no, I'm not into this. So like there is a bit of like, you should.
You could just stay in this one.
You stay in this one.
Just
like this,
be a gay man.
This one's probably fine.
Well, no, yucky.
It's sort of like, it. You kind of, I guess the thing is, the tension of the movie is like, what is going to be the thing that's screwed up? You know, like what's mm-hmm. That's kind of the problem with a lot of these things. But this one feels like the first one where, well, the thing is that you kind of like, all these people and I'm insufferable. Mm-hmm. They should be just like, why not just be like normal? Like, why not it just be like, maybe he is rich and successful, but like, why, like can they, there's never any relatability or anything like, oh, this does feel nice, like mm-hmm. at all. It just like doesn't, it feels very cold and these people feel like assholes.
Yeah, you know? it can't be like, I'm a normal person who is well-read and smart and yeah, like that would be interesting. It has to be like, we're in New York doing transatlantic accents and your novel, oh my goodness.
Yeah, like they're very much like these heidi-tootie people. Whatever it is, but
they're the neighbor. They're Julia Louise Dreyfus in Christmas Vacation. It's those characters.
Yeah,
yeah. And I mean, it sucks. They're going, you know, like, oh, it'd be terrible to be gay joke. At least if they were normal, kind of like this kind of thing, and then that was the reveal, would be kind of funny. You know, I think in a way it could. There's a way to do it, but they're already insufferable. That you're kind of like, this sucks already. Like, yeah. You know, yeah. You're kinda, these people are terrible. Like, that's the problem with, I think, these jokes.
I did laugh at, and Michael quoted this at the beginning of the, like, it's winning the Pulitzer Prize that hasn't even been published.
Yeah.
I did, got a chuckle out of me.
Like, you,
and Tommy Huss is playing the most stereotypical gay man.
It's very, ever. Like, limp wrist.
But I think that's one
flaming.
You can't really guess.
Wearing a wig in bed.
Like, I think that's one I don't feel like you can guess the twist. Like in sure. my, at least for me, that's the one I didn't realize think was coming. When the
yeah,
other
you're
ones,
like, how's this gonna
know.
Go wrong?
Yeah, when she's talking about his dick for like 10 minutes before he just like, you know, flat like sexually assaults her with opening up her, you know, the towel. It's like,
well, and this one's interesting too because like, as I think you mentioned it, like he's not into it, and it's weird because like they kiss. This is the first time and only time that they kiss, and like he's not into it. He's like, nope, I'm not into it. I'm gay.
Wait, I can prove to you that I am not gay. Kiss me.
Oh, this is just sad. You shut up, bitch!
Please, Allison, let me kiss you. Remember the champagne? The corpuscles?
All right, Elliot. Kiss me.
I'm gay. Well, thanks for dropping by.
Good night.
Yep. Bye.
I kind of like that. I kind of like that bit where he's just like, "Nope, I'm gay."
Okay.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Well, and that's the thing.
But there's
it's like,
a part
well,
of him
maybe,
that's like, I want to be with her, so I got to get out of this reality.
But maybe just try making out with Toby Hess for a bit and see how
enjoy
that.
Enjoy your nice ass apartment.
Yeah, you've got this beautiful apartment. Apparently, you've got
it's not
riches.
Paid by. Yeah, it's paid. For with honest money, it's not drug money. You know, there's no explosions. No one's trying to shoot you.
You're apparently part of the New York literati.
Maybe your friends are a little annoying, but you could get new friends. You know,
like, but no, then I'd have to be a gay man.
Oh no!
Oh god!
Yeah, it's tough.
Don't you know that's the worst thing ever?
Is this the last sketch in the movie?
No, then it's Abe Lincoln.
Which right. I kind of think, I don't know, for some reason, like that kind of is funny in a weird way. Like,
would it have been funnier to you, Ryan, if it was like he was
George
Abe Lincoln? No, Abe Lincoln, but like it wasn't the theater right away. Like it was like something like weird that Abe Lincoln was doing.
For some reason, like I think Brendan like is like playing it well. Like, why are we going? Like, we're going to the theater. Why don't we go to the movies, you know, or what? Something? Like, there's something like where he's playing it. It works.
It's this is the last sketch, right?
Yes,
I think so.
I feel like this would have been better suited in the middle because it's so throwaway. You know what I mean?
Like, it's kind of though, like the way it is here. It's kind of the movie's like, all right, let's just get this over.
We're
with.
Like, all right, we gotta
wrap it up.
Yeah, there's, I mean, I don't know, there's something just like, I just didn't expect it. The thing, the stupid thing is him saying, I want to be president, is like the dumb
yeah, right?
thing.
Why would that be good?
Like, it should just be like, sense, I want to be a respected person, like, that, like, changes the world.
Like, it should be like, it should be something like, I want to cure cancer or something like that. It's well, kind of the vibe he's going for.
If they want to get to him being Lincoln, like, he does say, like, I want to be somebody that, like, is respected and like changes the world and like does something that people and she'll respect me whatever for it, and then don't say that he's like the You're screwing the joke by going to president.
Sure.
You know I guarantee I mean? You there is an there was another sketch that one of the writers did where he was Bill Clinton. Yeah. Guaranteed.
Yeah, right.
And the Lewinsky trial, like, huh, Lewinsky thing.
Where am I? And he's holding like a saxophone, and then there's Monica Lewinsky like about to blow him. Like, you're like, what?
Like, is it like they don't think you would know that he was supposed to be Lincoln if you didn't say president, you know? Because it's like it's so weird. It's a weird.
Yeah, that would have been funny if he didn't say president. The joke. But then it cuts to like the 1800s or whatever. You'd be like, "What the hell is going on?" And then there'd be the reveal that like, "Oh my God, I'm Lincoln."
You like know right away. Oh, he's Lincoln. You know.
I thought the Lincoln prosthetics on him looked like bad in a funny way. It was,
yeah, like
it was
the really, drunk history kind of vibe.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah.
Have you seen that show, Mike? Is that a comedy that works for you, or is it
Drunk History?
Yeah, you ever seen that?
I like Drunk History. Yeah.
Okay. Just checking. You can have your badge, but not your gun back. You know.
Oh. You gotta earn the gun.
At this point in the movie, I think you're right, Jackie. The movie's just like, all right, we gotta end.
All right. Okay. All right.
Let's just wrap it up. Because he doesn't really learn anything. It's like, I guess he's confident now, and I'm going to make a selfless act. He's just kind of tired.
Well,
of this
first he has to. He gets frustrated when she shows up on the computer wearing her wildest wig yet.
She looked kind of cool, though, I thought.
And then goes to, like, the church to pray about it. But then he starts, like, telling a priest or something about this crazy bullshit he's wrapped up in. And the priest calls the cops on him.
That was odd.
Which I don't think you're supposed to do if you're a priest.
That was another thing that felt like scene missing. Like, I'm like, where was his outburst where he does something crazy to warrant calling the cops?
And also that the priest is, what's his name?
Brian Doyle Murphy.
Yeah, and I'm like... That was it? That's all they
got him for 2 seconds.
2 seconds of him.
Very strange.
So then he gets arrested and put in, or you know, he's being booked at the jail, and he's like, "Well, the devil did this," and they're just like, "Ha ha, yeah, we get it, buddy. Lock him up." And then Elizabeth Hurley comes to like psychosexually press him against a jail cell, and then we meet God, and he's just like, "You don't even your soul can't be sold. What's up?" And then he learns a lesson, I guess.
I guess.
From God.
Is the key word, the key phrase here, I guess.
I guess. I'm told.
And he starts going to the office without his glasses, and that's kind of, you know.
Yeah.
That is another thing of...
He really, in the beginning of this movie, is like trying... They're putting in all the stops to make you think Brendan Fraser in 2000 is not Handsome Man Central.
Yeah, and in real life, the fact is someone that good looking can get away with being pretty annoying. But yeah. I get he's even too annoying for people to look past his good looks
until he took his glasses off.
And then they were like, "Huh, there's something about you." Yeah. Then we're back at the CD. Oakland nightclub where the devil has her office, and last time we were here it was full of hot, sexy, partying people and hot girls in cages and all that, but now that we're here in the daytime they're all old and gross and there's footage of like meat on the big screen or something, and Elizabeth Hurley's like, "Oh, welcome back, hi, what's your last wish?"
He does a selfless act. I hope she has a good life, and that's the movie. And then we see the devil and God playing chess in the park. And
well, he goes back to his apartment, and there's like a clone of him there, you know?
Yeah, then there's this hot girl clone moving in.
Well, that's like the very end.
He looks
end.
Exactly like Allison for some reason.
Yeah, why does she...
He even asks her, like, "Do you have a twin sister?" "No." And basically he's asking, like, why do you look exactly like, what's this point
because
of this?
Because we needed a hot girl.
Is that like the gift from God or something? Is that what you're doing?
Yes.
His prayers have been answered or something?
Prayers have been answered. You get a girlfriend. That's the most important thing
in
the world.
I'll clone her and I'll make her
We never
exactly
see him,
like
the
you.
Thing is, like, we never see him, like, go home. So we don't know he like where he lives or apartment. So there's not, like, any, like, it's just like, oh, this must be where he lives. So there's never, like,
all we know is it's very obviously San Francisco, Dave.
I just missed that.
Well, he's biking up that hill.
Well, to be fair, we don't spend a ton of time where he lives. We're in these sketches the whole
we
movie.
We do, look, again, though, start York, the movie okay? with the Golden Gate Bridge and Port of San Francisco.
No, there's so every time we're in the city, it's like iconic shots of San Francisco, though. There's like, riding the bike up the steep hill. One of the scenes is at the Tony Hawk Pro Skater San Francisco fountain. Where the Tony Hawk level is.
I love that that's how you refer to that.
I know. It's the famous fountain in San Francisco that they've torn down now for like a tech park.
Yeah. Man, I used to love that fountain. Anyway, then they ended at the San Francisco courthouse where the devil is like, you made a selfless wish, blah, blah, blah. And that's where my parents got married.
Wow. What a great movie.
Were they in the shot?
It's actually a good... Yeah, they were... Well, they got married in the year 2000. I was born in 2017, and...
Hell yeah.
I'm very young. Well,
is there any other closing thoughts on Bedazzled?
I something you were talking about that you didn't see. I meant to bring this up earlier with... that you didn't realize it was Harold Ramis joint, but did you see the DP was Bill Pope? I saw it too.
Really?
And
from the Matrix, Bill Pope.
The movie before
this
Bedazzled.
Was the movie. The movie he did before this was The Matrix, and the movie he did after this was Matrix Reloaded.
He's like, I want a little break.
Well, he has quite the
fun.
Career. He's amazing. Like the DPs. He shot Clueless, you know, of course, and stuff, and Army of Darkness, and Scott Pilgrim. You know, this guy's he's the best. He's probably the greatest ever, you know, just because he has such a wide range of goofy and
amazing. Scott Pilgrim, wow, yeah, Baby Driver,
yeah, but it's kind of like Spider-Man 2. He's doing. I guess it looks like he's listed for the same Raimi. He's finally making a new movie that comes out soon. So,
Unfrosted, the Jerry Seinfeld 2024 movie.
Oh, who can forget?
I'm wondering, so I'm looking at this Chattopedia, and he has two movies credited as William Pope, and do you think that has to, like, what's the deal with that? It's for Unfrosted and Shanghai.
I'm guessing it's like a Screen Guild thing.
Renew his membership or something.
You think
something?
That's his cheap rate, like, one or something like that?
He's like, I'm not asking for the full quote, but like...
Well, one of his William Popes was Shang-Chi, which I imagine would be paying I would hope like paying a lot of money.
I hope he got a big paycheck for that.
Maybe it's something else. It is weird.
I bet it's some weird, like, guild thing.
Or maybe he's just like, hey, I'm an adult. I should go by William.
Well, he's old guy.
Only these two movies, and it's not like... He's done movies before and after that were, you know, it's like he keeps the Bill Pope.
Huh.
It's very strange.
Like, the same year, he did Unfrosted. He's credited as William Pope. And that same year, he also directed or did the cinematography for that Y2K movie.
Yeah, the Kyle Mooney movie.
He's Bill Pope.
Weird. Now,
maybe it's William Pope. It's a shitty movie.
I don't really want my, like, name on this.
Well, was this a William or Bill Pope joint?
This was Bill.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So we liked this one.
He had a good run from this time, you know. It was because it was like, you know, Matrix, Bedazzled, Matrix, the
Spider-Man
sequels,
2,
Spider-Man 2, and Team America, which is Team America. An amazing looking movie, I think.
That's not a bad run, all things considered.
Well, 2000's Bedazzled. So Ryan, I'll start with you. Would you make a deal with the devil and sell?
Would
your
you make
soul
a date with the devil? I heard that slip of the tongue.
If that's the question, yes, I would.
Yeah, would you go on a date with Elizabeth Hurley?
Oh yeah, I mean she's something. I think. I don't think she has quite enough. She's great to scenes and great looks. There's a scene missing. I think with her. I don't know. That's like some. I don't know what it is. But there's something missing to like make for her to call. Everybody, I think, needs to come back around somehow on this movie. And you were there in Toto 2 thing with everybody with his friends.
No, because he hates them.
I know.
You would think there was to be something that comes around with the friends, but it seems to just be like you guys suck.
Yeah, because they're not his friends.
Yeah. I wish there was something more there.
I would not. This is one like I was like hoping like, you know, I was like, oh, I know people like this movie, and I'm sorry if you're listening and you like this and we've been ragging on it, but like I was like, oh, maybe this will be fun, and I can usually put myself in the zone of this time with these type of movies and stuff. But this is one I just like had a hard time like right off the bat, and then I think throughout there's moments that are good, but like, or at least they're like are good tries, good swings, a lot of misses, I would say. But I would not. This is one I think that is not good. really. I would not recommend it. So,
What about you, Mike?
I think that
would you recommend this Bill Pope joint?
I don't think this is like a catastrophic failure. Maybe like that. Maybe Ryan does. Like I think this is just tale as old as time. It's a comedy that mostly falls flat and has some wasted potential. Most of that, I think the tough thing is most of that is front loaded. Most of the worst stuff is the first like 20 minutes, which is tough for a comedy because it's tough to then like get on its wavelength. But I think it has moments. I think it's ultimately like a good premise. It does really make, I don't know, maybe the first one sucks too, but it does make me want to watch the first one. Like, just because I do think there's an idea here, like that is good. I think, you know, funny enough, like thinking of like Groundhog Day or, you know, other Harold Ramis movies, I think there is like a good Harold Ramis movie in this premise. But this isn't it. This ain't it. So no, I would not recommend this movie. I think really under any circumstance, I don't think that there's a reason to watch this movie. So no for me.
What about you, Jackie?
No, because you can, very easily find the, you know, just go on Pinterest for the devil outfits. Great costuming, I would say, for all of her costumes. There's more than one fluffy red coat that I would, you know, snatch up in an instant. But no, besides, like, I said, it feels very similar to like a standard SNL episode where you're like, yeah, there were one or two parts where I thought was pretty funny and the rest was, you know, something, just not something good. So no, I wouldn't recommend, but again, just go look up all those outfits for inspo. It's really good.
Yeah, I gotta concur. This might be our first one in a while, I think, where all of us do not recommend the movie. I'm very happy to say that, so a little background, this movie was actually victim to that big fire we had in the Aliens episode, the explosion.
Oh, no.
This was kind of right on the edge, right across from the adult video section, so some of the flames like destroyed some of our comedy movies. This was one of them. I had to actually purchase this movie to add it to our digital archive. Thankfully, I had some Amazon credits, and this movie only ended up costing me $1.
$1.
It only cost me $1 to add it to the store's.
It normally would have been $5.
Correct. So I'm glad I only had to pay $1 for this movie. But let me say this: if you were in a situation where
tell me, would you buy that for $1?
Okay.
That's what I'm getting at. I would not. If you find yourself in a situation, audience, where you could watch Bedazzled, but you have to pay $1, I would say no. You'd use that dollar for something else.
What would be a better use of that dollar?
The best jokes in this movie are not worth that dollar, I would say. Like you literally use that dollar for anything else.
How would you use it? Tell me what is a better way for you to use that
$1? One third of a Big Mac and Coke.
Like, honestly, it would be a better use of a dollar to burn it to light a cigar or something than to watch this movie.
A better use of money to burn it to light a cigar than to spend it on watching this movie.
Or to, like, make a point about something. I don't know.
To be clear, you don't smoke cigars.
I don't. But
you
would. Having said that, I would still, that would be a better use than using it to watch this movie.
All right.
I think, I remember that watching that trailer a lot in 2000. Maybe that's all you got to watch, you know?
Just watch the trailer, yeah. It really boils down this movie to everything it is.
Yeah, I don't even know. I'm kind of looking, watching it right now, and it's mostly just the drug thing.
Does it have narration? Is it like Elliot Richards is a
normal guy?
A normal.
Well, I think you nailed it, Ryan. As we've said many times, this feels like an SNL sketch that's gone on for an hour and a half. Watch the trailer version because, as we've said, that is the most digestible version of this SNL sketch, a 2-minute version.
Yeah. And the thing is, I think it's too bad. I wanted to like this a lot more than I did, but. But yeah, you're right. I think Jackie, when you guys said that it was the first part, if he was more easy to watch in that first chunk,
more
of the
movie, human being,
it would have been a lot more better. I think that's probably what set me off. As I was like the first 5 minutes, I was like, ugh, this is rough.
This guy sucks.
Well, we'll see if the final film in our Satanuary sucks. But I got to warn you guys, you better get your raincoats. Because when we return, we'll be watching William Shatner battle Ernest Borgnine in The Devil's Reign.
Wow. Is it R-A-I-N or R-E-I?
That's why I said get your raincoats, okay. Mike.
Context clues.
Yeah, get your raincoats. It's the Devil's R-E-I-N.
Wow.
We'll see you then, folks. Until then, we'll see you in hell, I guess.
See you in hell.
Bye. Would you mind if I sketched you?
I didn't know you could draw.
I'm not an artist, per se.
Okay, Elliot, there's something that I think I really have to say. Elliot, that's amazing!
Compared to you, it's nothing. Compared to your smile and the blush of your cheek and the sound of your voice as it floats on the evening breeze, compared to you, that sunset's just